Doesn't that computer know who you
are? Don't they have any idea?
Bow down to the Tech Talk host.
That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right.
Behold the glory that is
a little while ago, I was installing some software, and I ran across this exact same
thing. I find you pompous, judgmental, and completely self-absorbed. Would you be my friend?
Onto a Windows Vista machine.
You would think.
You'd think there'd be no problem.
How could there be a problem with that?
I'd say in a given week, I probably only do about 15 minutes of real, actual work.
Directory permissions with config.msi directory, blah, 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 blah. This is Tech Talk. Good morning. This is Tech Talk on WRLR.
It is. That's Michael, Tech Talk cast line. Dave Sparkomatic. What was it? Sparkanasty? Sparkanaki.
Sparkala?
Yeah.
I like Sparkala.
Yeah, I'm the second banana that's been absent. Yes, we had no bananas for a couple weeks. And the show has been great. I hope I don't mess it up now that I'm back.
Man, for anybody that missed the last couple of weeks, which would include Dave.
We really
did have a fantastic set of shows. You know what? Rather than sitting and listening to this show, you should go online to Tech Talk at WRLR.FM, go to iTunes, download the last couple of... Actually, they're not even up there yet, so I can't tell you to do it. By the time that you hear this one on podcast, the other ones will be up there. Matt Richtel, Pulitzer Prize-winning author. Chip Bell, who came on and talked about Wired and Dangerous, about how the consumer... interaction with the corporations is changing in this internet age, and just fantastic, fascinating stuff.
Oh, I wish I'd been around for that.
It was good stuff.
I'm going to go check. If you ever post it, I'll go check out the podcast.
I'm getting closer to being back on track again. I'm thinking within the next the next month here, it'll happen finally. I don't know why it's so tough to get those things out the door, you know, and I got behind by 2-3 weeks, and I just can't quite make it up. But we're getting close. But you know what? So many of the old shows are good anyways. You know, don't feel bad. You go back and listen to some of the other ones. They're all good stuff. It's tough. It's tough keeping up with the new stuff that's happening in tech news, though, too. There's so much happening. Even this week is going to be a great week of news and information that we've got for you. Plus, of course, we'll have our good friend Jay Garman coming
on. Love Jay.
Love
Jay. Can't wait to hear
just a little bit, and then
always comes up with interesting questions and ideas. And
yeah, and he's got lots of great stuff anyway.
You know, he's pithy. Very, very pithy.
He is. He pithies me off. we'll have to have a big pith off.
Hey, do you know why they call those helmets that they wear in the jungle pith helmets?
The pith helmets. I don't know. I have no idea.
Well, because when they go through the jungle and the monkeys are up in the trees, they throw coconuts down on them. And it protects their head. You thought I was going to say something else, didn't
you? Yes, I did.
That's an old Benny Hill joke, I think. I'm not sure who I stole that from. I think it was Benny Hill. You know, you have to picture his sly grin after he says that.
Yes, exactly.
An eye roll. Not quite an eye roll, side to side.
Which, unfortunately, if you're watching us on Justin TV or on WRLR.FM, they've changed the camera setting back to insect view or fly view.
How many camera angles are there? About six?
There's just five.
They're too small.
And it's set into a space that would accommodate 12. So
we're little tiny ant people on the TV. You have like a what was the name of that great big? Remember we talked about this years and years ago. The huge Godzillatron or something. The great big
down
in Texas or something. They made the largest.
It was for a sports center.
Largest display and. We talked about it. It was called Godzillatron, I think.
I think that's right. I think it was for a a college or something along those lines. At any rate.
So unless you have something like that in your house, then we're pretty tiny.
Yeah.
Of course.
And speaking of people in houses, to get us back onto the news, views, and interesting stuff here, I thought this was fascinating. They call him the Wi-Fi hacking neighbor from hell.
Oh yeah, I saw the headline, didn't get into the story.
How could you see that headline?
I thought it was hyperbole. And also, you know, so the guy, all I know was that it went on for a year and a half or something like that.
Yes.
The guy hacked into his neighbor's Wi-Fi and went on for a year and a half. And what happened?
Well, and it's interesting.
He didn't cut off anybody's penis, did he?
No, he did not. That was another interesting story. Someone not named Lorena wound up cutting off someone's penis.
We were overdue.
It really was about time.
Yeah, she put it in the garbage disposal.
I saw the headline. I saw a quick thing on TV, and it's like, you know what? I don't need to know.
Rusty's looking
this.
In the window on this. Uh-oh, he's coming in. What? What? Nothing. I thought he had something to say. He just threw up his hands,
Yeah, there was a number of stories like that this week that I saw the headline and said, you know, I that's enough. I don't need to know any more about that one.
So back to the Wi-Fi hacker
back
from hell.
Back to the Wi-Fi. This one, though, I wanted to know about. Now, there's been some cases in the last couple of years of people who, Rusty's gone. But there's been some cases recently where people, and I think Minnesota was one, and no, this is Minnesota, this is where this happened, but there were some cases, maybe it was Illinois or Wisconsin, where people have been hacking into their neighbors' Wi-Fi networks and doing various nefarious things. There was someone who was downloading all sorts of copyrighted materials and getting their neighbors in trouble for that. Well, this guy gets 18 years prison sentence in jail.
Wow. And where did this take place, if I may ask?
This was in Minnesota.
Minnesota.
Land
of the shutdown government.
And typically a land of pretty
conservative, friendly
people.
Conservative people respectful of each other's privacy and rights.
Yeah. Conservative, socially liberal, but
very nice.
But
you don't want to step on anybody's grass in Minnesota, but other than that, it's...
Don't mess with the grass. So this guy, and his name is Barry Ardolph.
Yeah.
He moved.
And this is according to who? That's
He's been prosecuted and all this.
I understand.
Oh, what am I reading? Ars Technica. This is coming off of the Ars Technica site. I love that site, ArsTechnica.com. You can check it out there. But they, he had some neighbors move in next door, and they had a young son who I guess went to meet the neighbor or was in the yard, and he came over and brought him back to his parents, and his parents saw him kissing this young boy on the lips, and then not in a paternal or avuncular way, but in a very
how old was this
questionable
kid?
I think like about 9 years old.
Oh my goodness.
8 years old. So the new, you know, moved in neighbors filed a report. They filed a report with the police and said, hey, you know, this is questionable. Does this guy have a record? You know, we were really concerned about our son.
Just moved in, huh?
Yeah. And so the police came and checked him out, and he got wind of who had reported this and all that. So he, from that moment on...
Well, you would think, how many kids is he kissing on the lips? He has to go... You would think he would know who reported it.
Well, I guess that's a good point, too.
He's got to go through a Rolodex. You know, that's not good.
So from that moment on, he created a reign of terror on them by hacking into their Wi-Fi network, which allowed him to do such things as write emails from the husband's email account to people at work, basically flirting with women and saying rude things to the bosses.
Wow.
He then also, too, downloaded and then installed child pornography onto this guy's computers and then called the police on them and said he suspected them of child pornography and so on. Well, this finally, now the police believed the neighbors when they said, look, we have no idea what's going on. They had a private detective come install. Actually, I take that back. It wasn't the police. It was this guy, of course, the guy who was being harassed is a lawyer. Worked at a law firm. So bad choices here by Mr. Barry Ardolph. And his law firm, fortunately believed him, and hired private detectives to try and figure out what was going on.
Ah.
And they very quickly could see that there was an unidentified hardware that was attached to the Wi-Fi network at his house. And so between that and then working with the police and tracking things down, they ultimately brought this to resolution, and Mr. Ardolf is going away for a while.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's good. That's good that was resolved. But it's thank goodness it was a lawyer that he hacked, and not some poor schlub, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Not that technically inclined or anything, and
or who would not have the resources to defend and protect themselves
and figure out what the heck happened. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I've heard of similar cases being done less technologically. You know, where people have vendettas against their neighbors and things like this, and these things just blow up, and they can blow up out of control, and beyond the pall of good sense and reason. And unfortunately, this is one of those. But it's nice to see that people do it. So, and the interesting thing I thought here, and bringing it back down to the tech idea and all this too, is that now the web encryption that they had, and they were using web encryption, was hacked, and it was hacked fairly easily. I guess he took him almost a week to hack it, but really WEP isn't even that difficult to hack. If you know what you're doing, it shouldn't take you more than a couple of hours. But one of the reasons they were able to prove the case in court is that this guy's computer was full of hacking manuals with titles such as Cracking WEP Using Backtrack, A Beginner's Guide, and Tutorial, Simple WEP Crack Air Cracking. Yeah. And things like this. So, you know, it was pretty clear what he was doing and why he was doing it.
Sounds like a jerk.
Yeah.
Too bad he's going away.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that was the other thing he had done, is he'd used the email system to send threatening emails to political figures such as Al Gore and others like that, too. So so all around a bad thing for everybody. All around a bad
thing. We're some funny monkeys.
Yes, yes, we are. Yes, yeah. We are. I'm going to have to ask Jay about this in a minute, too. But do you like music? Because Spotify's been in the news a lot lately.
Yeah, I guess they're taking a run at Pandora or something.
Mm-hmm.
They want to be your top. And I've never used either one of them. So maybe could you explain? It's basically an online music service. You set up a playlist and they'll play music for you. Is that the way it works?
Yes and no. Now, Pandora is like that. Now, yeah. Pandora is kind of like internet radio. That's its essence. But you get much more control over
your radio. You have input into
what
you hear.
Exactly. Yeah. You don't get to choose necessarily every specific track, but what you do is you put in, you know, say
your
you,
preferences.
Yeah, say you like
your genres.
You like Dave Mangan, yeah. And you like, Dab Hands, and something like this.
Throbbing Gristle.
Yeah. A little bit of that, maybe some Husker Du, throw that on there, and it'll pick out who is comparable to these artists, and then play you music like that. And it's great. I love it. I love Pandora. I use Pandora. Not only do I use it at home, listening and sitting around, like when we have dinner parties, I'll listen to it on my phone. I have it hooked up into my stereo. You know, all this good stuff. It's great. Now, Spotify is a little different than your Pandora concept. Spotify is like a mix, a mashup, if you can picture it, between iTunes and the iTunes player and Pandora, in that it collects all the music that's on your desktop and in your computer and so on, makes it available to you if you buy a premium solution on your phone, so you can listen to your radio and your music on your phone over the air in streaming. And it also, too, has that Pandora-esque quality of being able to listen to stations and playlists that are made up of music that you don't own, but that you have said, I like this kind of music and want to listen to it. And in addition to that, it also takes it one step further beyond what Pandora allows you to do. And you can actually do, and this is like Groove Shark, we've talked about, has been a cool site of the week on the air before. It'll allow you to type in a name of a song or the album or the artist, and it'll pull that up, and you can listen to it. And it's I've been using it this morning. In fact, we listened to it as our interstitial music brought in. It's instantaneous. It's very, very fast. I've been very impressed with how quick it comes up.
And it's free or it's not free?
It is free if you are able to grab yourself an invite. I was able to get one, which I was pleased about. So I got an invite to it. Now I'm supposed to discuss it a bit, you know, and which we're doing, but they don't really need anyone to discuss it because it's getting
it's
such
growing
huge.
Very quick.
Yeah. I've seen some really great things with it. It also pulls in your playlists from iTunes too, which is nice as well. The only difficulty I'm having is in my library, there's music or I should say some audio files it picked up that aren't music. I don't want them in my playlist and I can't get rid of them, or in my library, I should say, and I can't get rid of them. I've deleted them off of the hard drive and now I can't delete them off of the off of the library that just says can't play this. So that's been a little bit irritating. So there's a few little bugs to work out and things like that. But it's a very nice, slick interface. As I said, it's fast. It's very, very fast. I have not tried the Android app for it yet. I don't have a premium subscription, so I probably won't put in the money for that. But I've got to say, I don't see myself going back to iTunes at this point. The only other thing that it seems...
iTunes or Pandora? Or both.
Pandora I will probably continue to use just because I'm so comfortable with that interface and how it works. The only other thing I see missing from Spotify, too, is if you're a big podcast listener like I am, there's not a podcast interface within it. However, most of the podcast listening that I do with my phone anyways, so I don't see it as a huge issue.
Yeah. But they're growing by leaps and bounds, I understand.
They've been around since 2006. They were in the UK, and only as of Thursday have they been allowed into the U.S. There was a lot of discussion and dissension about how this works, playing free music, basically, via the Internet, and how do royalties and all the other stuff, how's that going to operate? Now, what I understand is, now the free version, of course, is supported by ads, and the way that Spotify is distributing royalties, it comes out to something like 0.004 cents per song play per artist. Now, there's some
per
artists,
spin.
Yeah, exactly. Now, I don't know how that works if it's a partial spin, you know.
Well, I'm sure they have, you know, a clause or two about that.
Yes, yeah. I'm sure there's a lot of legality involved in that. And I guess there's some artists that are very much on board with this and love it, including Trent Reznor, who has often been on the cutting edge of technology and tech distribution of music. But there's others who do not so much, don't like the idea that you can just listen to stuff free over the air
for micro pennies.
Yeah, for micro pennies. It always confounds me, though, the idea of it, that people would have an issue with that. I guess I could see it. It is a different beast than radio. You know, radio, you don't get to choose what you hear. You flip around to different stations and you can hear what you hear, but you hear it for free. Pandora is like radio on steroids, again, where you're choosing the type of music, but again, you're not really choosing exactly what you want to hear for free.
I like that model, though, in terms of, you know, there's been all kinds of discussion. Your buddy Al Franken is very, very is very big on protecting copyright.
Yes.
Funds or material, copyrighted material. So that's not a bad model. You know, micro pennies for per play. Mm-hmm. If there were a way to do that, that'd be a good. But speaking of media streaming and that sort of thing, another big story was Netflix. Netflix raised their price from $9.99 a month for streaming movies and or mailing DVDs to your house.
Yep.
And they've raised it from that to about $16.
Yeah. Now, yeah. I don't know the full details of which they raised and by how much.
No, it's the accommodation service.
Okay, so if you're doing one or the other, they're going to keep that at the $9.99?
I don't. It's something I don't do. But from what I've read, and I tried to print it out, and I should have just brought the laptop, but it's basically amounts to a 60% price increase.
Yeah.
And that's not the big story. I mean, that's a big enough story, but people's reaction to this is huge. They're saying as many as 41% of people could walk away from Netflix because of this.
Yep.
There's that much discontent with it.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's a big price.
It's a firestorm.
It's a big price jump, and it's, you know, they've got... People have options. I think that's the problem. People do have other options. And one of the things that's been a big boon for Netflix is that, especially that streaming internet, is that the comparison cost between that versus, you know, your cable subscription or whatever, it's just right in that sweet spot of cost to say this is worth it to me, and all that.
Well, they position themselves as kind of the, you know, the alternative. And people kind of have identified with that, and maybe a little too much.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a fantastic. Well, we should. I don't know if it seems like a pretty good deal.
And I haven't used it myself. I'm not sure. I know that Netflix has
people
been,
rave about it.
Yeah. Everyone that I talk to that's had it or has it really loves it. I know that Netflix has been beleaguered with the licensing issues that other companies have, particularly once they jumped into the streaming realm. There's a real quantitative difference in the way that the movie manufacturers and distributors want to license their product between sending out DVDs versus doing streaming. You know, sending out DVDs is a very clear model and a very clear licensing factor that they can say.
Well-established standards.
Yeah. They can say, look, we're going to give you, you know, a 250,000 DVDs for your subscription ship, and we're going to charge you this much. And, you know, when you're done with them, you're done with them. But with the streaming, in order to support the number of people that could conceivably stream at any one time, the manufacturers or distributors of these movies wanted these really, really insane amounts of money to deal with the thought of people being able to grab stuff off of the air for free, you know, quote unquote.
Yeah. You could also rip a physical DVD. And you get it to your house.
Well, that's what Netflix wanted to do, was they wanted to take their streaming product and say, well, we'll just make our own DVDs as needed, and we want to market, you know, we want to make a deal with the record or the movie companies, all in the same, you know, ball. And we'll deal with the product, and we'll deal with all the other stuff, and let's just license the movie to Netflix itself. And these things never worked out. The movie distributors, from what I understand, just weren't ready for that type of a change in their licensing agreements. And so Netflix has been kind of pushed into a corner and having to pay greater and greater costs to these to the movie factories. Now they're also in deals, of course, with TV. They're doing streaming TV and episodes and all that. And I'm sure there's some similar issues, but not nearly as bad as the ones with that. I do find it interesting they're choosing to raise their rates right now, just as Hulu and some of the other products have really started to gain some traction too. So
yeah,
seems like an odd time to do it. Now, what's not an odd time though is right now for us to call Mr. Jay Garman.
It's always good to talk to Jay.
Hello.
Hey, good morning,
Mr. Garman.
Good morning, Jay.
Hey, it's the full crew. Very nice.
I got everybody here. I know. it's a peaceful, calm day here in the Midwest, and
we'll solve that shortly. Don't worry.
Thank you. That's
what it was raining this morning a little bit.
Yeah. I've got a big party to go to outdoors today too. So I'm hoping that rain ends pretty quickly. It's supposed to be a beautiful day up here though by the end of it. I don't know what it's like down there for you guys.
It's a little overcast. We're expecting some rain a bit later, which I hope is much later, because I have to haul some ruined flooring out of my basement. I got buddies coming over with a truck, you know. It's really highly technical geek stuff we're working on here, but the rain would definitely impede our very obscure and unusual work methods of taking wood up a set of stairs and putting it in a truck.
You know, every week when we talk to you and I hear what you've got on the agenda for that Saturday, I think, boy, I am so happy not to be there.
My wife has a similar reaction, but she just can't get away.
And Jay, there's no graceful way to do that job, by the way, to take ruined flooring up the stairs and throw it in a truck. There's no... Just give up on that. Just appreciate the awkwardness of it and the bad smells.
I may have outsmarted myself because I've taken out one of those small basement casement windows in the basement and lined it with and padded around it with some blankets so we can just shove the bits of flooring through that window and not take them up the stairs.
The trick
is getting all the flooring into the room where the window is and then having some of my four friends outside that window, picking it up off the ground and immediately putting it in a truck. But it saves us going like up the stairs, then reversing course and going all the way to the other end of the house where the door is. Yeah. I don't know who designed my house, but clearly they didn't want anything of weight or substance ever getting into or out of the basement.
Yeah.
Because it's as far from the door as you can get.
Yeah, I've got the same issue, but it sounds like you did actually design an elegant solution.
Oh, no, it's theoretically elegant. Once my friends get a hold of it, I'm sure some horrible side effects will ensue.
There'll be something you've overlooked that is dramatic and disastrous. Yes, that's usually the way things work for me as well. Oh, man. Yeah, no, basement work is just the worst. It's it takes all the worst parts of housework and adds that whole extra level of complexity of having to deal with being down somewhere and trying to get things up or having to get things down the stair. Just brutal. I remember that was one thing we had to do. It was about a year or two ago. We got a piano from my parents, which was wonderful and fantastic. And my kids are learning to play piano, and it was a great thing. And my wife insisted that it has to go in the basement. And I won the fight. I actually was able to show her using spreadsheets and rulers and tape and actually cutting cardboard piece that was the same size as the piano. I had to tape together some pieces of cardboard boxes and say, see, it just isn't going to work. Someone's going to die. Do you understand? And it's likely going to be me.
And if you want to kill me, we can arrange something much less obscure than this to make that happen.
Yes. Yeah, Laurel and Hardy already took this bit. See, we don't need to do it again. So now we have the piano. Now we have the piano in the what's now called the music room. It used to be the living room.
Yeah.
So. Which living rooms are essentially useless anyways. I mean, at least in my lifestyle, I just don't have that many people that come over and really just want to sit around a little settee and on the love seat and have crumpet and tea and talk about social matters and pass, I don't know.
So moving on.
Anyways. Yeah, we're a little off the beaten track here. So, Jay, have you gotten your invite from Clout for Spotify yet? I was wondering if you had jumped in on the Spotify bandwagon.
I have not, and I think I'm being punished by all the friends I couldn't get Google Plus invites for. They're getting revenge on me now by not giving me Spotify.
Oh, you know what? You have one. You have one. Go into your Clout account. I saw your name listed there. Go into your Clout account, Clout. And anybody out there that doesn't, and I haven't talked about Clout on air, I don't think much, but Clout is kind of an interesting idea. I'm not sold on it, but I did sign up for the thing. What they do is they basically analyze your Facebook, your Twitter, your Foursquare, your whatever, you know, a bunch of these social accounts you're on. And take a look and see how many interesting posts, I guess interesting as far as how many people have reposted some of your posts, how many people have responded to your posts, how many people follow you, and how many you follow. And using some obscure, abstruse calculation, they come up with what's called your clout, is how much social influence you have. And Jay has far more social influence than I do.
Well, yeah.
This is not a surprise.
Only your ego obscures that fact.
just barely. Just barely.
Yeah, yeah.
And
I think that's more of an insult to you than it's a compliment to me.
I think it's a pretty big compliment to you.
So Jay is far more clouded up than I am. And I got a clout invite to Spotify. They gave a bunch of invites to the people that have signed up that are early adopters of this clout thing, and so I got it and I jumped in and I've been using it now for the last few days, and it's wonderful. I don't see anywhere within, I would send you one directly, I don't see anywhere within Spotify that tells me that I've got extra invites to pass out. Otherwise I would be very free with them and let people ask me, and I would send them to them on a first come first serve, or send one of course to my good buddies such as yourself. But you should have one. You should be able to get in there and grab it.
Well, as soon as I'm off the air, I will go investigate that and see if I can then lord it over my transgressors who have not seen fit to invite me yet.
And they, you know, to their credit, they may not be able to. Like I said, I don't
see undermine my pointless rage. I needed to lift heavy objects soon.
That's true.
What is this, Fox News all of a sudden?
With pointless rage? lifting heavy objects? I don't know.
Pointless rage.
I don't know. Yeah. Well, I can tell you.
Hacked phone calls.
We were just talking about Spotify. It's well worth the effort of going in there if you can grab yourself an invite. It's essentially the perfect mashup from what I've seen so far of iTunes, Pandora, and Grooveshark. You just can't it doesn't get much better, I don't think. Dave is busy adding special effects to the show here. You can hear the thump 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 in the background. Yeah. He's getting ready for some dab hands or talking about.
So Jay, about the question.
Well, talking about, you know, things that make you angry. It is the 66th anniversary today of the Trinity nuclear test, which began the atomic age. And the question we asked last week was, the Los Alamos scientists who participated in the Manhattan Project set up a betting pool to determine what the actual explosive yield of Trinity test would be. And the official pool ranged from dud, meaning the device just flat wouldn't work, to a maximum of 45 kilotons of TNT. And then Enrico Fermi, who had a very interesting sense of humor, had a side pool going with odds on igniting the atmosphere, wiping out all life on Earth, and just, like, that was the high end. The bottom end was just wiping New Mexico off the map. Now, how anyone was going to collect from that side pool, I don't know. But I do find it interesting that was sort of Enrico Fermi's sense of humor. But the question was, who won the actual pool? And what did he go on to become famous for besides just winning the first nuclear explosion bet in human history? And the answer was physicist I.I. Rabi, which Isidore Isaac Rabi. And you probably haven't heard of him. He had an interesting role to play in the Manhattan Project. He was J. Robert Oppenheimer's best friend. And he didn't do a lot of active work because he was a Columbia professor. He didn't do a lot of active work on the Manhattan Project. But he sort of had the unofficial job of keeping Robert Oppenheimer sane, because he was sort of completely overstressed. And so General Groves, who was the military commander, kept bringing Robbie in to consult and help and whatnot. And because he wasn't always at Los Alamos, he was the last guy in the pool and just took the last spot left, because he came in late for the test, put his dollar down on 18 kilotons, and won. And he sort of often joked that was his grand contribution to the Manhattan Project, which is sort of winning the pool of 18 kilotons. There's no documentation I can find, like, exactly how much was in the pool or who bet what, because I think they were all sort of, you know, half embarrassed about it. But he won, and so he sort of became famous for that briefly. But we all owe him a much greater debt of thanks to just keeping Oppenheimer the same, because this is the guy that won the Nobel Prize for basically discovering nuclear magnetic resonance, which makes MRI scans possible. So basically, there's an entire field of medicine that derives from his work in physics, which I consider a very great contribution. He was also Truman's second science advisor, so he sort of advised him after the atomic bomb went off. which was kind of important. And then he went on to become one of the main science advisors to NATO, and is sort of unofficially and indirectly credited with coining the term software engineer. Because they started doing serious software projects at NATO about the time he showed up. And so the notion of being more than just a software developer or a creator or a programmer, that you're actually engineering large software projects, is in some way connected with iRubby. So he did a whole lot besides just get lucky with the nuclear bet.
So this is a pretty impressive guy. Yeah. Now was he the one that was feeding Oppenheimer all of the Hindi mythos and all that, and got him? I'm just thinking of Oppenheimer's famous after the bomb fell, and he said, "I am created, Shiva, destroyer of worlds," which is a direct reference some of the
Hindu creation,
the Veda, Bhagavad Gita.
Yes.
Yeah, he's not known for that. The thing about Oppenheimer that most people don't really get is that he was kind of a literature nerd on top of being a physics nerd. Like, there's a big debate about why the Trinity test was called the Trinity test, and one of the leading, because it just sort of like the name just sort of popped up in correspondence, and no one really knows why, and no one really remembers who picked it, which sort of makes you shudder, like the level of organization at the project that invented a nuclear weapon. don't remember a lot of important things. Like, who named the test where we blew something up the first time? Like, no one remembers. But it's generally thought that Oppenheimer picked it out of a John Donne poem. So Oppenheimer read a whole lot of interesting and odd, like, poetic literature on the side while managing the creation of the most dangerous weapon in human history.
Yeah.
So I got to think that that Los Alamos was just a very odd place to be in the early 1940s.
Well,
lot of weird birds were there doing a lot of strange stuff.
Considering that they thought that it was a fair balance or trade to say, well, we need to win the war. The alternatives are we could win the war with this weapon, or this weapon could possibly wipe off all life off of the face of the earth, and that's a fair trade. We're let's go for it. I think kind of shows that's, where everyone's
that's a reasonable
at
risk.
At the moment.
Yeah, that's a reasonable risk.
Exactly.
Now, to be fair, they were fairly certain, not 100%, but fairly certain they couldn't ignite the atmosphere.
Yeah.
But there was still a minute chance. You know, they could have not carried a one somewhere. You know, that does sort of tell you how desperate they were to beat the Germans. That, yeah. You know, being ruled by Germans or kill every living thing on Earth. I'm going to roll those dice.
Yeah, well, I guess that was the feeling of the time. I mean, Churchill's got his famous quote of, what is it about, reasonable thought leads to prudence when it's boldness that is required, something along those lines. So
it's not inspiring me. I think I might have missed a word
or
two.
I'm quoting it very incorrectly. I'm sure the concept is there, but I can't remember the exact phrasing.
We'll have it for everybody next week.
Yeah, there you go. I'll work on that. So of course, shouts out to customer Jones, who got not only the name of the physicist but also the exact.
She ought to be like Oprah. You know how Oprah took herself out of the running for the daytime Emmys because she won so many. Customer Jones ought to withdraw from. But not really though, because she's. I'm just kidding.
No. We love hearing from you. Yeah. Absolutely. And Jay, so what should we? Including customer Jones, who's always welcome to send us an email.
She should be flattered that we compared her to Oprah.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. And I should mention, too, maybe I don't mention the email at techtalk@wrlr.fm. We're wide open for anybody sending us emails about anything, really. And you can also leave us a voicemail, 847-984-0847.
And we'll answer even questions about love advice.
Relationship problems. If someone has a relationship issue, give us a call. I'll try my best to answer it either here or on the blog.
Poor Jay. I'm sorry, Jay.
No. I'd be interested in hearing some of those calls. Really participating. Hearing them would be interesting.
Well, you're on the panel. you'd be on the panel for...
Absolutely. Absolutely. We do them live with the three of us, and you see what we can come up with. Now, you know, mentioning, you know, the line of people that you're getting relationship advice from, I don't know how useful, at least on my end, how useful this information would be. I'm in a good relationship, but no dint of my own intelligence or capability. It was surely all on the other end. So, well, Jay,
I relate to that position very well.
You guys must be doing something right. So speaking of doing something right.
So what should we be Dave's, see, this is good. I was complaining the last couple of weeks. It's like, I cannot stay on time. I don't have Dave
yelling at me, and I'm still not doing it.
Yeah. So, Jay, what should we be thinking about for next week?
Well, we're coming up on the 42nd anniversary of Apollo 11 this week, so I can't ever pass up a chance to go into my Apollo program grab bag of trivia. So Apollo 11 had a lunar module and a command module that were named Eagle and Columbia, respectively. They were also the first two Apollo spacecraft that the NASA PR office felt the need to name themselves and not leave it up to the astronauts. All the previous Apollo flights, they'd let the astronauts in true pilot fashion pick the call signs for their craft. And it wasn't just PR at work. Basically, Apollo 10 ruined it for everybody because they picked two fairly amusing but irreverent call signs for their command module and their lunar module that almost landed on the lunar surface. And because they got a little goofy with it, nobody else got to name theirs anymore. So the question is, what were the official astronaut call signs for the lunar module and the command module for Apollo 10, which were so unconventional, they didn't let the Apollo 11 astronauts name their spacecraft?
They were wistful. They were serendipitous. I believe I remember one, and I'm not going to share it. But I thought that was cool. I was a kid at the time, so I thought that was really cool that they picked those names.
I love the names of the Apollo 10 spacecraft,
right.
And I wish they would have let the astronauts keep going, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, maybe with some veto power.
I liked Eagle and Columbia, though. I thought those were pretty nice. A little stiff, maybe.
The Eagle has landed, makes for a nice saying. Yeah, so, yeah, you can't complain about that too much. But I have no idea. I mean, other than the Eagle has landed in Houston, we have a problem. There's probably not a lot of space lore that I have racked up in my brain about that period of time. So I'm actually fascinated to find out next week what that would be, and it is too bad that we're not allowed to continue coming up with their own names, because they probably would have come up with some pretty neat ones.
Yep, no doubt about it. Can't wait to hear it next week.
Looking forward to it too, fellas. Try to avoid the rain the rest of this weekend.
Do the same. Good luck with your flooring.
Absolutely. Yeah. Have a wonderful day. I hope that it goes swimmingly and with far less trouble and travail than you're expecting.
Yeah, I hope that stuff's not too slimy.
That would be a nice change of pace.
Absolutely. Well, it sounds like you had a good group of friends there to help, and that always makes everything better. Just make sure that you've pre-ordered the pizza, and so that they know that it's on the way, and things will be good.
Absolutely. All right. Take it easy, fellas.
Okay. Thanks, Jay.
You do the same, Jay. Thank you.
Always great to hear from Jay. JayGarman.net.
Yep.
And
fantastic guy. Another good question.
Absolutely. Always good questions. Yeah. And I'm hustling along here. We're going to do a little bit of a few moments of a break. And then we'll dive right back with some cool sights of the week and a podcast only song of the week as well, which I'll be playing through Spotify. So all sorts of fun stuff.
See you on the other side.
WRLR. 98.3 FM.
All Custom Electronics Incorporated offers service for all of your audio and video needs. Surround yourself with many audio and video possibilities. They have many brands of equipment available. Their services include installation of in-wall, in-ceiling, surround sound, home theater, and commercial electronic sound systems. All Custom Electronics Incorporated is a proud sponsor of WRLR. They have over 14 years of experience to help you design and build your dream sound system. All Custom Electronics can be reached at 847-254-1234 or at allcustomelectronics.com.
The Round Lake Area Public Library is a proud sponsor of WRLR. The library provides current information, formal education support, independent learning opportunities, and life enrichment materials to a highly diverse public by a trained team of individuals who will nurture a love for reading and learning. The Round Lake Area Public Library is located at 906 Hart Road in Round Lake and is open Monday through Sunday. The phone number is 847-546-7060. The website is rlalibrary.org. Se habla español.
Take a trip back in time to the 50s through the 70s by tuning in to Rock and Roll Revival on Monday nights from 7 to 9 p.m. here on WRLR 98.3 FM.
All right.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Test, test. Check, 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 check.
We're there.
Cash, cash.
We're there.
Yeah.
We're all together.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Mike, Mike, Mike.
That's my name.
Michael Kastler.
Yeah,
Tech Talk. WRLR.
Yeah,
Tech Talk on Saturday morning. Ah, what's that sound? Oh,
yes,
it must be time for Cool Sights of the Week. Sit back, relax, and enjoy Mike's fantastic picks.
and I
frog in my throat.
Dave's losing it there. I know, we were just talking to Jay. I'm sure Jay is gone already to work so hard at his basement and things like that. And this probably wouldn't do him any good at this point anyways, because it's too late for him, but it's not too late for you. If you're thinking about doing a DIY project, replacing your garage door, refurnishing the basement, maybe
that's a tricky job.
Upgrading the bathrooms, all these, yeah, can be really tricky jobs, especially if your
garage doors can kill you. They can't know how to wind those springs
right
and stuff.
No,
not just that, but those springs. Excuse me, you have to coil the springs that hold the door up, and you do that, and those things can get away from you, and quite serious injuries can take place.
Just nail you. Man. Yeah, well, it turns out, actually, that is one of the featured projects today on DIYornot.com. I love this site. It is really, really...
So it's a way to evaluate, if you're considering a project... You can go through, there's steps to go through to decide whether you want to do the project or
it's pay
to have it done.
It's a combination of things. It's a full service stop, actually. It's really neat. I love it. The first thing it'll do is it'll allow you to compare the cost of what it's going to take to do it yourself versus what the average cost for a contractor would be to take care of it for you.
Right.
And also, too, compare the number of hours that a pro would take versus what it would take for you to do it.
Some of that's got to be pretty funny, I would imagine.
Yeah. And there's some stuff that...
Forever.
Yeah.
It will take you forever.
Exactly.
You will never finish. Go home.
I didn't see a spot where they tell you how many friends that you'll need in order to take you to the hospital and finish it for you after you've completely...
That actually happened to me. It's a long story. A guy bought a car from me that had a bad transmission, and it was on my driveway. He said, "Can I change the transmission on the driveway?" I said, "Sure." I came out one morning with my tea, and he was out there under the car, and the car fell right down on him. So it's a long story. But
was he okay?
He was on a walker for a while.
Jeez. Oh, man. Well, of course.
that was until the second time the car fell. After it fell the first time, they did it again the same way, you know, and the car fell a second time. And they got under it, and the car fell a second time.
Oh, my gosh.
It was like two subsequent mornings. It was like one morning I went out, and it fell. And when it fell, they were screaming. And so I jacked the car up, got them out from under it. And I said, "Look, you guys need jack stands. You know, you can't just put it on a jack." And they're like, "Oh, no, we're getting it." The next morning, I came out, the exact same thing happened, only instead of screams, it was silence.
Not good.
This was a long, long time ago.
Okay, well, this will not help you with your legal issues that you may have after having friends attempt DIY projects at your house. But what it will do, not only will it give you that comparison, but it also provides videos and hints and tips and all sorts of information about how to tackle these yourself if you so choose to do so. And it has, of course, links to two, how to hire a pro. And you can find out, too, what
the average cost is. Oh, that's a great, that's very handy, yeah.
So really takes care of the whole ball of wax. There's calculators in there and all that other good stuff. So really neat stuff. So, Jay, if you're listening, go take a look at that and see what it would have cost you to just do it and what you're potentially going to get charged for here. Anyways, yeah. Now we talked a lot, too, about music today and Spotify and all that good stuff. Of course, you can go to Spotify.com and you probably read all sorts of stuff about it. But unless you're like Jay and me and are big wig, big time,
media.
Social influencers, then you don't have a chance.
Media posers, yeah.
but I did stumble across. Now, you know, I love the indie. I love indie music. I love being one of the first
you
guys
do.
On the block to hear
you
about
do.
Things.
We were talking about that before the show, how you should probably get a job in, college radio or something, just so you can be in the mainstream of that and have that talent and interest of yours made more use of.
Really be in the flux and yeah. mix of it. And that unfortunately that'll never happen, I don't think. But I do love it, and so I'm always trying to find new ways and better places to stumble across interesting bits of music. And there is a fantastic site I had not seen before. It's been around for a while. I don't know how I missed it in the past. But if you're looking for indie music, and not only that, but indie music that you can listen to, you can download it, you can use it and abuse it and do what you want to. It's all for you, all free. There's a location, a website called Better Propaganda, and it's betterpropaganda.com. I particularly like going into the staff picks area, and Phil and Ken and the other guys running the show there, Kat and Phil M and all this.
Kat, why am I not surprised there's somebody there by the name of Kat?
There's no one named Star. There's no one named Star. I would have expected a Star. You know?
Every college radio station in the country, there's a Cat.
Yeah, and an Ivy.
An Ivy.
So you go in there, and they have guest picks, and they have all sorts of things. And just you can go through and find, and there's just a fantastic selection of music you've never heard before, yeah. but some really, really good stuff. And
you mentioned it before, like Spotify does this, and so does Pandora. They'll recommend stuff, and that's like an abbreviation, RIYL, recommend it if you like. Mm-hmm. And so it sounds like they do a bit of that. You know, if they know what your likes are, they can point you to other stuff.
Yeah, that's exactly it. That's exactly it. And the thing that's nice, of course, about staff picks is that's the things that are picked out by hand by real human beings with ears and brains, whereas the stuff you get on Pandora, they do a good stab at it, but I think there's more room for error there because it is an automated process, and they may not keep on the same.
Yeah, high risk, high reward, though. I mean, I'm sure that... it's more risky or it's more far afield of stuff on Pandora, but you never know what you wind up with, I would guess.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes it's like way off base, but it's like, hey, that's interesting.
Yeah. No, and I haven't played much with the music list creation that Spotify has. I've done a couple of quick ones, and it seems pretty darn good. But this is fun too. It's all good stuff. I guess I really don't have time. I was going to throw one more at you, but you know what? I really don't have time for another one. So instead, what I'm going to do out of Spotify, I'm going to throw some music at you. How about we do? I don't know if I feel like world music today, or do I feel a more
road? Did you say road?
No,
rogue
world.
Oh, world music. If I had a vote.
If you had a vote, okay. Dave's got the vote. Here's what we're playing today. Amadou and Maryam.
From
the album Welcome to Mali. The song is called Magosa. And
Mali, West Africa, by the way, is probably the roots, the very, very roots of American blues, by the way. The tonal qualities, the instruments and stuff. They have a little violin there that's like a one string that sounds just like the blues.
Huh. Yeah. Well, and you'll hear in this is a really nice mash of kind of Western sort of tonalities,
sure.
But with these African beats.
Sure.
And I don't understand a word of what this woman is singing about, but it sounds great. It's just a really nice tune, and It's one of those that I ran across via Spotify.
They're a top-notch act, and they've been around for years, and they have a wonderful sound.
So I hope you like it. Amadou and Mariam, I'm going to lead you out on that. Thank you so much for listening to us this week. We got another great week in line for you next week. And don't forget, go to techtalk.wrlr.fm. You've been listening to Tech Talk with Dave Sparky Saganaki and Michael Tech Talk Kassler on WRLR 98.3 FM.
Round Lake Heights. See you later, guys. Next week, we'll be here.
Magustaye.